Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
I mean, honestly, I don't even get who's out there. I'm looking forward to whooping their ass either way.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
And Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hi, and welcome into the Take the North podcast. Along with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune, I am Mark Grody of The Score. And Ben Johnson is going to be the Chicago Bears' next head coach. It happened. Ben Johnson to the Bears. Dan, can you believe it?
Jordy, I'm not sure what they're thinking with this hire. It doesn't feel like it's got much chance of
working. No, I'm kidding. He can't build a culture. Oh, ouch. Oh.
Should we do that? Should we really stir up the audience today by poo-pooing this move? Man, wasn't expecting this to occur as quickly as it did. There's no question that the Bears made the biggest splash possible with this hire. And what I've been saying throughout the afternoon and into the evening is that no matter what happens, whether Ben Johnson becomes a Super Bowl winning coach at Halas Hall, or whether it doesn't work out and they're searching again in 4 years for a new head coach, this was 100% a gamble worth taking. It's the same thing with Caleb Williams. I will never look back on the decision to draft Caleb Williams at number one overall as a mistake. Mm-hmm. You can't be guided by outcome bias on that. These are dice worth rolling for both of those moves, and now they get to work together. Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, we'll see where that all goes, but there's no question that this team in this moment needed a big splash, and they made the biggest splash possible.
We talked about it, Dan. They had to get him. Nothing else felt good. The number two, whoever the consolation prize would have been, was way down the block. It didn't matter. You had to get Ben Johnson. Credit to the Bears. They did what they had to do, apparently, to get Ben Johnson in the building and keep him in the building. And I think one of the biggest things to headline here, Dan, is that he essentially chose them. Ben Johnson canceled some of his other interviews because he went running to the Bears and wanted to stay there. So we don't know all of the details and what exactly Ben Johnson will be responsible for in terms of play calling, in terms of any sort of say in personnel at this point. But the fact that he chose them is something that has to be stated right up front.
They didn't even bring David Shaw into their building. That's what we're going to be yelling 4 years from now when it doesn't work out. It's very crazy the way the wheels of this machine work sometimes, where, you know, like Ben Johnson did not have an in-person interview with the Chicago Bears. You know, like he basically agreed to become their head coach. I don't know if he's ever been to Halas Hall before he made that agreement. And so interesting on that front, you talk about him choosing the Bears. I think there's a group of leaders at Halas Hall that were justifiably hard on at times. That includes George McCaskey, who clearly has been willing to open up the team's checkbook to make a offer to a guy like Ben Johnson. There's Kevin Warren, who I think has done a good job of elevating the ambition inside that building and getting them to move past what I call the settle and shrug muscle memory at 1920 Football Drive. Like, oh, it's fine. Everything's fine. And you pass it. And Ryan Poles clearly was able to articulate a vision that Ben Johnson, at least for now, believes in and wanted to come sign up for. I think Caleb Williams is obviously a huge part of this. If you are a young head coach looking to make the biggest move of your career, you want to make a leap and a bet on a quarterback that has the potential to take you to the highest heights. Clearly, Ben Johnson saw that in Caleb Williams. Clearly, he's excited to come work with Caleb Williams. And so now the Bears open up a new future, Grody, here that I think, particularly after the last 12, 14 weeks, hope has been restored to 1920 Football Drive. And I think that's as big a development as anything right now.
Dan, I agree with you. I think 70% of this thing, the entice for Ben Johnson, the obvious buy-in, is because of Caleb Williams. And look, man, Caleb Williams talked about it on the podcast. on the St. Brown podcast. In his ideal world, it would be an offensive guy that he can grow with. And I don't remember if he specifically mentioned Ben Johnson in that context at that moment, but this is what he desired. And I'm not building this up to say that somehow Caleb had a say in any of this, but the Bears were smart enough to recognize that this was the best direction to go for this right. quarterback whose last year was a coaching fail.
No, yeah, zero question about that. And look, like now you have the opportunity with an offensive-minded, bright guy who clearly has shown the ability to take a number one overall pick and take him to the highest heights of his career. It happened with Jared Goff. People don't remember. Jared Goff arrived in Detroit in 2021 via that trade with the Rams as a castoff, as a guy that at the time most people believed was a bridge guy in Detroit, right? Like he was going to be there for a year or two. They were going to find someone new, pivot, new direction. The next thing you know, Ben Johnson, after Anthony Lynn failed sort of to take Jared Goff to new heights, takes over, gets the play calling responsibilities, gets the opportunity to mold the offense around Jared Goff's strengths, gets the ability to tap into Jared Goff, and you see the results. I think the last 2 years is like 9,200 yards and 67 touchdown passes, right? Like you put that, Grody, into your Chicago Bears record book filter and see what pops up in terms of quarterbacks that have been able to put up those kinds of numbers. And so that's a big part of this, right? Like you have a guy that has shown a proven ability to develop a quarterback and to take him to new levels. Obviously, if that occurs with Caleb, if there is a breakthrough here in the next year or two, the Bears are unlocking a world that everyone hoped would be unlocked, and away we go.
There were a decent amount of people on the score. I was hosting on the score with Matt Spiegel, and just between the texters, some on Twitter and on all the streams that we have going, just watching, like collecting the comments, there were a decent amount of people and even a couple calls that you can go back and listen to that were kind of like, I'll believe it when I see it. And a lot of them were like, we've seen this act before. Well, really though, in most of our lifetimes, we haven't seen this act before. And that is not only going for the offensive guy, because they did that with Matt Nagy, but they went for the big time prospect candidate, offensive corner, offensive guy, offensive genius, all those words that we like to attach to OCs. They did go out there and get that.
The people that are saying, I'll believe it when I see it, I applaud them. You know me. It's like that's the approach that everyone that follows the Chicago Bears should take. See it to believe it. Get results before you buy in. I will also say that those same people that were calling you this afternoon on the score are likely going to be in an adrenaline rush tizzy in August when Caleb Williams has his first good practice at training camp. Right? You know what I mean?
We'll send him in that tizzy, Dan. Like with one tweet of our phones, we'll send everybody into tizzies.
And when they lead a touchdown drive in a preseason game in August, all of that anticipation and hope and imagination will be unlocked to the fullest potential. And so that's what that's about. Like we can talk here through a realistic lens about what the concerns are with Ben Johnson. He's never held a head coaching position. We don't know what he's going to be like in the front of the room. We don't know what he's going to be like as a supervisor of a defense, right? Like that is now on his plate. He has to be the guy that, you know, oversees the coordinator of the defense and positions that side of the ball for success as well. He's going to be a guy that's going to have to rescue a team when it's in a 3-game losing streak.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't reach 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We've seen 2 10-game losing streaks here in the last 3 seasons, Grody.
Yeah, like,
Ben Johnson's got to solve that. So there are huge questions about his ability to be a head coach that can handle all of that. That said, again, you're marrying him up with a very talented quarterback with a vision to unlock things like he unlocked the offense in Detroit. And you see an opportunity here to do some really special things. And right now, for the next day or two, we can embrace imagination. We can embrace possibility.
It's interesting. Mike Martz, who has always been really very honest, I think, in his media career, his post, you know, Bears career, whenever he decided to hang him up. And he was on the score today as well. And he straight up said that this kid he's a generational talent as a play caller. And Martz is not prone to hyperbole. He was the one that was telling everybody, when everybody loved Justin Fields, that Justin Fields is no good and that he's not going to figure it out. So just understand where Martz is coming from on this. And he said something interesting too. And feel free to react to that here in a second too. But I wanted to add this on, Dan, that you know, in terms of the leadership part, which we don't know about yet, you're right, and commanding a room and all, we found out how important that kind of stuff is in building the C word. Yes, indeed, Dan, the C word. But he made it very clear that a guy can also lead through, like, intelligence and credibility.
Yes.
It yep. doesn't have to be this looking every man in the eye and coming up with something really nifty to say. Sometimes you could just look at a coach and like, I get those vibes from Kyle Shanahan. Like, I don't think a Kyle Shanahan seems like this big boisterous guy, but he's credible. People have seen what he's been able to do. And that's the big thing that Mart said, that the second you meet this guy, he said that he will have sold the players. Like, and he says that, like, that takes a long time to occur and many fail at that, but it'll be straight up for him, for Ben Johnson.
If he gets up at his introductory press conference later this week and says, I want my players to get their mind, body, and spirit right, I'm going to drop my notebook and walk right out of the room. I'm not, we'll just lead a brigade out of there and go, okay, can't do this.
You know, Potsy will be 10 steps ahead of us already. I'm out of here. This is ridiculous.
But come on. Look, like, you brought up a couple things there that are worth talking about. You listen to people that have been on the ground in Detroit. You listen to people around the league, and they talk about Ben Johnson as a guy who's honest and upfront, capable of holding his players accountable, really into the details and the precision involved to play football at a high level, and capable of pushing his players to meet that expectation. And then most of all, the ability to get the most out of your players, to show them a path to reaching their full potential. That's all there in Ben Johnson. Now he's got to bring it together for an entire group, an entire team, and in particular the quarterback and the offense to get this thing going where it needs to go. And so you hear some of these endorsements and you go, yeah, let's jump aboard for this ride and see where Ben Johnson takes it. He does seem to have a very natural, easygoing way about him. You mentioned Kyle Shanahan. I'll throw in a Kevin O'Connell into that equation, right? Like, a guy who doesn't have to be, you know, all machismo, all football, all slogan, all 1980s, you know, caricature football guy. Just find a way to show players how to be at their best and to taste success. Guys will follow.
Let's talk a little bit about the way things might work under Ben Johnson, and specifically with the coaches around him. And, you know, the assumption is, and obviously we'll make sure when we do get to talk to Ben Johnson, we assume he is going to be the one that calls plays. I think it would be a real upset if he wasn't. So
yeah, no, he's calling the plays.
He's calling the plays. So they assume we'll hire an offensive coordinator to go with that as well. And that coordinator would essentially be doing the grunt work of the offense and the stuff at practice that Ben Johnson is not going to want to have to worry about. So we start to think about potential types of coaches, or maybe even coaches. And for the first time, you know, Dan, you and I have dealt with some pretty ambiguous in terms of what they do offensive coordinators through the years, such as Mark Helfrich with Matt Nagy. Just in terms of what does an OC do if he's not calling plays? I mean, I think it's always just a little bit tricky. So Mark Helfrich was like that. Bill Lazor was like that until Bill Lazor did take over some of the play calling.
I was going to say, what did Bill Lazor do? He waited until he got the opportunity to call the plays.
Yeah. So it's going to be, I suppose, that type of guy, like a guy who's hungry to be an offensive coordinator. But I mean, that's a big deal to not get to call plays. I imagine, you know, as he probably will find somebody with whom he has a relationship, and I imagine it'll be probably somebody pretty young and eager, I think, to perform on that staff, because this is Ben Johnson's offense. So I find that interesting. What do you think about OC?
Right. So this was a name that was given to me a month and a half ago to watch on the Ben Johnson front. Hank Fraley, offensive line coach in Detroit. He's been there since 2020. Yeah. Ben Johnson's coached alongside him for 5 seasons. That's a guy that I think there's a heavy level of trust in. He could come in and be your offensive coordinator, you know, be heavily involved in the run game operation and give you that familiarity there. That would be a name I'd keep an eye on here in the next week or so as the staff comes together. Beyond that, we'll see. We'll see kind of what unfolds. This is the next step of the Ben Johnson process, is what kind of staff does he put together? I would imagine that conversation came up in the interview over Zoom that the Bears had a week plus ago. Who do you think you can land here? Who's going to run your defense? Who's going to run your special teams? Who are you going to bring? Who are some assistants that you absolutely have to have? How can we get them? That is the next phase of this. And if the Bears can put together a really solid staff around Ben Johnson, now you can start to dream about bigger things. And I'll say this, with some of the reports and the rumors that are floating out there already, mm-hmm. it was notable to me 2 weeks ago when Ryan Poles talked about lessons he learned from the last hiring experience. And one of them was, if you're going to hire a first-time head coach, try to find somebody on his staff that has had that experience before. That's Dennis Allen in the current landscape. If Dennis Allen does indeed come to become the defensive coordinator of the Bears, you've got a guy who's been in the head coaching chair before. And what that does for a guy like Ben Johnson is it gives you a resource, a guy that can point out issues that you might want to anticipate, a guy that can help you troubleshoot when things you've never had to deal with before come to your plate. That's going to be interesting to see with this staff is what is the level of experience on both sides of the ball that Ben Johnson can lean into as a first-time head coach to help him with some of his blind spots.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important, and it's good to hear a name like that so you know that Ben Johnson is listening to people, that he's not just out here thinking he can do it all. Ultimately, of course, that's what you want, a well-rounded head coach, but if that's what it is for right now, that's good. He's also not a threat. It's Dennis Allen. I don't think. Like, Dennis Allen has been, you know, had a lot of times a defensive coordinator, but was not greatly successful as a head coach. So I think it's a perfect place for Dennis Allen if it is him. With, like you said, we don't know if it is at this point, but God, I mean, we know around here, Dan, more than most cities, that yes, these assistants matter in a big way. We talked about the luxury of the 2018 season when you had Vic Fangio. You brought that up in terms of just like having this guy that had complete control of the defense, and the head coach was cool with it, and he just took it and run and ran. So you want those I mean, it's not going to work out that perfectly probably on this staff, but that's the ideal right there. Let me take this off of your plate for you, and in time maybe you can get more involved in the defense and things like that.
No doubt about it, right? Like, and that's something that is going to be fluid in the first year, the second year, and beyond. These head coaching hires always get the front page. They get the biggest headline. Everything happens. And then it's like the coordinator hires and the position coach hires are inside the paper. I'm using the old newspaper terminology here. People that are in our younger audience is like, what is he talking about right now? that's what happens, right? Like, it's like, oh, by the way, they also hired so-and-so as their defensive coordinator. Oh, by the way, they hired so-and-so as their wide receivers coach. These are all hires that matter, and they're going to occur here in the next several weeks, and they're going to be worth talking about here on this podcast and elsewhere, because it's going to give us a vision for how the staff is coming together. I do think it's worth pointing out when it comes to Ben Johnson's vision for offense.
Yes.
The ability to commit to a running game mm-hmm. is something that he is not averse to. I believe that the Lions were third in the NFL this season in rushing attempts. That is with an offense that doesn't have a very mobile quarterback. Obviously, the Ravens with Lamar Jackson running for them are going to have an elevated total of rushing attempts. The Lions were third in the league in rushing attempts, and I think sixth in rushing yards per game. That tells you that you have a coordinator who believes very strongly in the foundations of a running game, how that can take pressure off a quarterback, particularly a young quarterback. Is that Ben calling now?
That's my mom. What's going on with the Bear? I've been hearing all these things. I think I saw you on television. I don't know what's going on.
You should have patched her in there. We could have gotten some take. But like, you have that dedication to the running game, right? Like, you can unlock the play action game in that regard. And then when you look at the results of what the Lions did, particularly this season and some last year, you're like, man, like, this is some special stuff here. But the reaction column I wrote for ChicagoTribune.com this afternoon, the highlight montage of touchdowns from the 2024 season. There were 68 during the regular season, 4 more on Saturday night in the playoffs. That's 72 touchdowns. Just go watch that. I said it could be a therapy session. It can be a therapy session for Ben Johnson to get over the playoff loss on Saturday. It can be a therapy session for Chicago Bears fans to get over the last 35 years.
Let's address the opposition, though, Dan, on that. And you know what the opposition is.
Give it to me.
It's the talent. Sure.
Yeah,
that Detroit has. Let's look at that, because when you have guys like, you know, Frank Ragnow on that offense, Penny Sewell, one of the best tackles in the NFL. You just mentioned the prowess of the running game and Jahmyr Gibbs and what David Montgomery has given you, and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. I mean, that it is a loaded offense. So So what do you say to people who say, ah, is he going to bring all those guys with him to Chicago? Let's address that.
Very good question and worth talking about. Like, number one, don't expect the Bears to have the Lions offensive line in 2025.
Oh, you
like,
don't
it's
think
gonna, it's going to take time. Yes. At the same time, I would tell
there's a mini rebuild going on the offensive line. And I'm serious about that, right? You're right. That's going to be hard to just flip in a year because you also have so many issues elsewhere, like the defensive line.
No question. At the same time, I would imagine that Ben Johnson didn't make this career leap without having the fearlessness to tell Ryan Poles, hey, bro, we got to go get some difference makers up front. And I hope Ryan Poles doesn't need convincing on that after what he's experienced here the last several years with the turnover up front. So they're going to have to go out in free agency and they're going to have to get a big ticket free agent. Like, just no reservations about it. Go sign someone in free agency that can come in and be a day one starter and lock down one of those positions for you. Go into the draft. Understand that, hey, our scouting staff needs to be digging deep and trying to figure out what are the best paths here to getting offensive linemen that can come in and be difference makers for us. If you add two difference-making starters this offseason, that's not unrealistic,
no,
right? Like, and then you pair them with a Darnell Wright, and then you try to patch together the two other possessions temporarily. So be it, right? Like little bit at a time. But I would hope that Ben Johnson shows Ryan Poles film and says, like, you know, when we scored 52 against the Titans, let's watch these guys up front and how they made that happen. You know, 3 weeks later when we went and played Jacksonville and put up 645 yards, let me show you what that looked like up front. And then you can understand how this thing comes to life. I don't think Ryan Poles will need much convincing on that end, but yeah, they're going to have to do some high level investing.
Yeah. I think somehow, some way the Bears, or I should say Ben Johnson, was convinced by the Bears that things would be better. So that's a tremendous counter to that argument. And I'm thinking, for some reason, as soon as you said, like, the Bears have to immediately make a splash day one, my brain went right to Lovie Smith back in the day. You weren't covering the team, nor was I, but we are followers of the Bears. Lovie Smith shows up at Julius Peppers' door to make it official that they were signing Julius Peppers. You're right. It's got to be like that. I mean, as if there's not urgency because you brought in this new head coach who you've got to do right by, probably, you still have a quarterback who you need to do right by and not waste if he is what I still think he is.
We cannot go 3 off seasons talking about how much salary cap space the Bears have. Like, what are you saving it for? Like, you know what I mean? Like it's go time, right? Like, this is the time now. You have a coach, you have a quarterback, you have the potential to get your team on the right track as soon as possible. And they need to get on the right track. Look, like, that's going to be really interesting here because we don't have real great clarity on what Ryan Poles' job security is. You have the quote from Kevin Warren on a year's an eternity, and nobody wants to tell you what the contract length is. The one thing you want to avoid here is having that win or else pressure on your GM's plate, right? Because that creates a very hot seat at Halas Hall, and you don't want him making moves that are to save his job but are compromising the Bears in the long term. At the same time, like, this is go time, and you make moves to upgrade your roster right away with the belief that the growth that we were supposed to see in 2024 can happen in 2025 with the roster as it is and with the draft capital and salary cap space you have to work with.
Yeah, and we'll find out when Ben Johnson eventually is introduced. I mean, obviously lots of questions and things that need to be discussed, but I am curious as to, like, what if he has any say whatsoever in personnel things, or if that, you know, how close. I'm guessing the answer, Dan, will probably end up being we're all working together, and by Ryan Poles does the pick. I do wonder if that had to have been part of the conversation somewhere along the line during the interview process.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd want to know, right? Like we've talked previously about clarity of vision and unity of vision. As a candidate, you want those things, and you want to be able to come in and put your fingerprints on stuff and to be able to have a sizable amount of say in what direction the roster goes. And so that will play out over time, and I guess we'll listen to words and then react to actions, right? You know what I mean? Like, let's see what the roster looks like when we roll into Halas Hall on July 27th or whenever reporting day is for camp, and we'll see kind of what that thing looks like. Yeah, I mean, look, like, there's a lot within this Lions offense to love, it is going to take time for the Bears to have the personnel advantages to create those mismatches. But I also believe in the word that travels around the league that Ben Johnson is adaptable, that he's smart, that he can find wrinkles that help his personnel get back to where it needs to get to have high level success.
The Bears got Ben Johnson show. Dan, what's going on with our survey here? I see that we need to get the word out. You're better at telling people about the survey, so why don't you tell people?
Yeah,
and we need Studs if you need to jump in, buddy.
The Studs may need to pop in again to give us the tinyurl.com/TTN. Yeah. I believe that's what it is. He'll give it to us in a minute. We've had a survey out here now for a couple of weeks. A lot of responses already, Grody. More than, you know, I think 125 at last check, and more to come. But for our loyal listeners that take the North, go ahead and take this survey. We'll give you the URL. Again, it's in the description of this podcast, both on YouTube and wherever you get your regular podcast. Click on it. Go there. Tell us what you think of the show. That can be positive. It can be negative. It can be constructive criticism. It can be high praise. We like that the best. Yeah, right?
I'm a 5-star collector. You know what I'm saying?
and what you do with that is you help us get some opportunities to make our own self-improvement. As the Bears are making self-improvement, Take the North is going to make some self-improvement on top of that.
We're not changing the title. No more change the title. It's not. We're like the Big Ten. We're a brand name. It doesn't make sense, but that's the brand, baby.
I wish I had my social media account in front of me, because recently I got a reply tweet from a loyal listener who was sporting a really sharp Take the North podcast hoodie, navy.
Oh,
I was like, oh man, that looked that. I was like, that was. I actually saw that on a human being in a Twitter photo and was like, yeah, that's awesome. Sharp stuff. You can get that. Take this survey and you will get yourself a discount code and a path to getting Take the North merch, t-shirts, hoodies. A bunch of stuff on there, which is great. Studs, do you want to chime in here with the URL officially and add to whatever rambling I've done just there to help this podcast get better and help our audience dress better?
Studs is absolutely. Studs has got plenty of ramblings. Don't worry. What do you got, Rambler?
You got the URL right, Dan. It's tinyurl.com/TTNpod, or even easier, if you go to the description of this podcast, whether you're on YouTube or on the Odyssey app or whatever app you use for podcasts, it'll be right there for you to click on. And we will also have the link to that merch store in the description of the podcast.
And you're right. Zach Martin is a free agent in the offseason. And Studs was hot to begin the show, so I'll give him a little bit of credit. He claims that he told anybody that ever asked him, and when he had a microphone in front of him too, I presume, that Ben Johnson would be the next Bears head coach. So if that's what you needed, Studs, you got it right there. You got this one right. The Bears got Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you can ask Ray Diaz, my co-producer on the Bernstein and Harris show. I've been hot about this. But all right, I did want to add, you know who else is a free agent this year? James Daniels.
Oh, you're going to bring back James. Yeah. James. Good Daniels. Old James Daniels. That will give us...
That was one polls move that I like, it wasn't the biggest deal in the world, but I did kind of shake my head like, that guy? You're letting that guy out of the building? I don't know. You know?
When he left, his final... locker cleanout day interview, this was back when we were still doing those over Zoom, included like a 6-minute exchange with Mark Potash that I think we need to dig up and bring to an episode of the pod soon, because it was high level unintentional comedy on both sides of an exchange.
Oh, I know the exchange.
Yeah, it was basically comparing Matt Nagy to Kirk Ferentz and figuring out who was better as a head coach and why they were successful and why they failed in certain ways.
Potsy got all tangled up and James Daniels got all tangled up
and everybody was tangled up and nobody could get it untangled. And so this is a research project for Studs when he can get there, because I think our audience would enjoy revisiting that. One other note here, I just wanted to give you a statistical nugget that I plopped down.
Yeah, whatever you
in
got,
my
man.
Column
yeah.
today, because the Lions scored a league high 564 points during the regular season. The Bears scored 310. Just wrap your brains around those numbers. The Lions scored 30 or more points in 10 games, and I think it was like 10 of their last 13 that they scored that in.
The Bears managed their final game of the year.
Yeah, and the Bears managed that feat twice all year and never – after leaving London. So like, if you're looking for reasons to kind of see windows of hope and promise and potential, there's a lot within this Lions season to unpack. We could do a whole podcast on just the trick plays alone. That will be fun if the Bears can unlock them and run them with the level of detail that Ben Johnson demands. Like, there's some fun stuff in the highlight reel of the Lions that is worth watching. And that's why I suggested that therapy session where just watch all 72 touchdowns and maybe all 26 trick plays or whatever it is. And you're going to have yourself a fun little evening.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. And I'll if we do discuss James Daniels further, I will tell you some sideline stories of James Daniels. Like good stuff. Like, I think that Bears fans would probably appreciate.
So, we need to get like a Tales from the Sideline segment there for you.
I could give you some helmet slams and, you know, throwing up going on the sidelines, all sorts of good stuff that we don't tend to report immediately anyway.
Yeah, no, just on a podcast 4 years later.
Exactly. That's what podcasts are for, man. You talk about anything. This has been, by the way, Dan, we were talking about this today too. Like, just in Chicago sports in general, every once in a while, there are, oh my God, we got that guy moments. This was certain. To me, this was one of them. Khalil Mack was one of them. Jay Cutler was one of them. Joe Maddon, the Cubs manager, was one. Like, oh God, that it actually worked out. So, yeah, I don't think that this Ben Johnson is beneath any of those. I think that fits nicely in that category.
Well, so I was asked on the air a little bit ago in my time on the beat, 12 seasons and counting now, what compares to this? And I brought up Khalil Mack Labor Day weekend 2018. The difference of that was that one kind of came out of nowhere and hit everybody like a surprised uppercut. You were like, God. This one was like following 7 weeks of, could they maybe, fear, dread, anxiety, you know, all the emotions that Bears fans were feeling. And then it came to life on Monday afternoon. And the Bears now just have to get it across the finish line, the goal line, whatever you want to call it, and get the ink to dry on the contract and announce it officially, which hasn't always been the smoothest thing in this organization.
No.
I don't think anyone's anticipating.
Hey, 24-hour rule, man. Let's enjoy the win here.
I'm going to enjoy this one tonight, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. Right?
Exactly. And I guess we would anticipate probably middle of the week for the introductory press conference where we'll get to ask more questions. We'll see who else is available to be questioned as well. But it's going to be an interesting week. So this is absolutely the place, the Take the North podcast, where some days we record two podcasts like we did on this day that we were recording right here, Dan.
The Bears announced interviews with 17 candidates. We don't know if they ever talked to Matt Campbell at Iowa State, but 17 were announced. So we know that they talked to 17 people and hired the guy that was at the top of everybody's list 12 weeks ago.
They got that guy. For Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune, for Adam Studzinski, the producer of the Take the North podcast, I am Mark Grody of The Score and the Take the North podcast, which we really appreciate you watching and listening to and evaluating us. Like we said, the survey is out. Have a great rest of your day.
Great talk. Take the survey. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. Bears.